Penguin Random House Canada presents Love Lives Here, A Story of Thriving in a Transgender Family by Amanda Jeté Knox. To my family, who love fiercely and can patch up a foundation like nobody's business. Preface. It's noon and I'm sitting in a busy coffee shop. A decaf Americano and something called a protein box beside me. Eggs and cheese and soft, depressing-looking grapes I won't eat. I'm trying to write the introduction to my family's journey. I've hit backspace more times than I can count, and now I'm taking a moment between attempts to press down on one of the squishy grapes. Who eats these? Who lives this? Oh, right, I do. Live it, I mean, not eat the grapes. What do you do for a living? People often ask when they meet me. It's an easy question. I wish I had an easy answer. It's complicated, I want to say, like a Facebook relationship status. And by complicated, I mean, how do I even begin to tell you that my entire career is founded on an email from an 11-year-old? Somehow, the words writer and speaker don't quite cut it. Although that's what I generally reply. But my work is deeper than that, because it's fueled by unconditional love for the people in my life who needed support. First one, then another, and now many. Love is why I do the work I do. Love is why this book exists. Love for myself, love for my family, love for a whole community of people who don't get enough of it. Can I say I do love for a living, or will people give me a look more withering than the ones I've been giving these grapes? Before you listen to this audiobook, there are some things you should know. Everything in this book is written to the best of my recollection and the recollections of those around me. Memory is an imperfect tool, but the sentiment behind the events described is true. I tried not to embellish and to recreate conversations as closely as I could. Some names have been changed or left out to protect privacy. I didn't want to throw anyone under the bus, even if some people weren't as kind as they could have been. Finally, in order to keep the focus on the heart of this memoir, I've included only those events relating to how we got here. There are plenty of other stories, but I'll save those for another time. This book involved the continuous support and input of my family members. It's our collective journey, after all, not just mine. These words wouldn't be nearly as powerful or as meaningful without them. When writing about trans issues, cisgender people like me, those of us comfortable with the gender we were assigned at birth, should strive to make sure we write nothing that can damage an already marginalized community. Discussions surrounding gender are evolving rapidly, as is the language used. For this book, I consulted several trans people, but if I messed up anywhere, I apologize. I will strive to do better. While I hope this book will uplift the listener, there are some tough issues covered, including mental illness, suicidal ideation, sexual assault, gender dysphoria, transphobia, homophobia, and LGBTQ slurs. If you find yourself struggling through these chapters, please reach out to someone you trust. If you feel alone, there are crisis lines, including LGBTQ-specific ones, and other community supports. Please get the help you need. You deserve to shine. I use the term LGBTQ often in this book. I know our community is bigger than lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer/questioning people. I did this for brevity, and to avoid constantly referring to the queer community, a phrase that, while being reclaimed, has also been used as a weapon. But I see you, asexuals, pansexuals, two-spirit people, intersex people, and everyone else who doesn't fit into the first five letters. You are not forgotten. If you like our family's story, please consider supporting visibly trans and non-binary people. Read their books, blogs, and articles. watch their documentaries, movies, and videos. Listen to their podcasts, radio shows, and interviews. I promise you'll learn a lot. And as a bonus, you'll be supporting a group of historically marginalized folks who are working hard to turn the tide. And with that, I will find a compost bin for these squishy grapes and see you on the other side of this book. Thanks for listening. 1. Detour. She told me in the car. Or rather, she didn't tell me. Because it's what wasn't said that gave it all away. The space between our words leaving a silence where you could almost hear our hearts break. It's funny how much you remember about important moments. That night, a warm summer rain was tapping lightly against the car windows, and I could smell the air conditioner as it worked overtime to push out the mugginess of early July. I could hear the splash of puddles as we made our way down the road toward our suburban neighborhood. I remember how a bright green grocery store sign lit up the car's interior as I turned and asked that one pivotal question, and how our 10-minute ride home ended up taking well over an hour. Whenever I think about the night my life changed forever, I'm thrust backwards into sensory overload. The sights, the smells, the sounds are forever a part of the memory. It's only one piece of a much larger story, but I recall it as clearly as I do my children's first breaths or my grandmother's last. I suppose this makes sense, since that night was both the start of a new life and the end of an old one. By any measure, it had been a terrible date night. Unbelievably so, even for us. And hey, we knew terrible. Back then, I had a mopey, moody partner. This made everything, including date nights, a lot less fun. How do you have a good time when someone is lugging around misery like a millstone? The person I married barely smiled, even at the best of times. But after more than 2 decades together, I had come to accept this as our reality. Some people are just not the smiley types, you know? Oh, you know. We all know people like this. The ones you can't coax a grin out of no matter how hard you try. For years, I figured that if I led by example, if I just smiled more, modeled joy, or exuded gratitude, the moodiness would disappear. The cloud would lift. After trying those techniques for so long and failing spectacularly to get the result I was hoping for, I probably should have known better. Sadly, I'm a killer optimist. I always see a way to let the light in. I'm Charlie Brown running for the football Lucy is holding for me with a mischievous glint in her eye. Damn it, I was gonna get the person I'd married to love life, even if it took another 2 decades. Just watch me. That's why I'd suggested we go for coffee and cinnamon buns. I mean, what kind of person can eat a cinnamon bun without cracking a smile? I was sure I had a foolproof plan as we made our way to Quitter's, a quaint hipster establishment owned by the famed musician Kathleen Edwards. In 2014, she had purposefully stepped away from the spotlight to return to Ottawa and open a coffee shop. Her decision garnered much local attention. Who walks away from a career full of accolades to make espressos in the suburbs? People like Kathleen, that's who. Those who seem able to shift from one life to another with much grace and little fear. In hindsight, it seems only fitting that a place that symbolizes so much change would serve as the backdrop to our own seismic shift. That night, we sat along the back wall in mismatched chairs, a candle dancing on the table between us. I was probably smiling too much and drinking my coffee too fast, which I always do when I'm nervous and fidgety. I know for certain I was asking what was wrong, because that's what you do on a date night, right? One of you mopes and the other tries to prod out the cause? They make movies about people like us and release them on Valentine's Day. I wish you would just tell me what's going on with you, I said. We sang this little song on a regular basis. We both knew the words. The person I loved stared out the window. It was nearly dark out. The dim candlelight between us was casting shadows on both our faces. Neither of us was smiling now. It's nothing. It's not important. This was the reply that always followed my prodding. It is important, and I don't buy that it's nothing, I countered, just as I always did. If it were nothing, you wouldn't be this unhappy all the time. Unhappy. So unhappy. I was tired of it. 22 years later, it was time to figure out what the hell was going on.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?